We are on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. Done?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and we are Kuf Vav Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines to the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. I guess they changed the Girsa to the Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Dayek Vachitayv Ulbakarek, can I cover you for more? Dayek Vachitayv Yerkayim. Dayek Vachitayv Ulbakarek, Dayek Vachitayv Daig and Achitayfel never saw each other. Daig b'mei Shol, v'Achitayfel b'mei David. Daig was in the time of Shol, before David became king. Achitayfel was in the days of David, by the rebellion of Avshalom, as we will learn later on in the Gemara. V'yam Rabbi Yechon and Daig v'Achitayfel l'chotzi yameyem. They neither survived till 35. Tanya nami hachi anchi damba b'mirma, people of blood and deceit, l'yechotzi yameyem, did not live half their life. Daig lived 34, which is less than 35, thank you very much. And Achitayfel was 33. Now, why is Achitayfel 1 year less? Achitayfel committed suicide. So he died by his own hands. Now, had he lived, naturally, he would have died at 34. But because he committed suicide, he killed himself a year earlier than he was supposed to die. So he only lived till 33. The is there any Rashi? No Rashi. The Amar Rabbi Yechonon. B'tchila kari David l'achitayfel rabbi.
Now, is that a raya? The whole thing, a person, Rachmanos, like, suicide, he's not buried in a regular...
What's it, what are we talking about? What's that got to do with this here?
No, let me finish up. I mean, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm saying is, but they get on rabbi?
I have no idea. This has nothing to do with this.
No,
the Tzibah doesn't have
anything to do with this. Well, that's dumb because...
No, it's excluded in the Mishnah.
I mean, the Mishnah...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's not getting old house because he could have suicide.
I think it says, I'm Abba Natsum Lidah, Zayim L'Chaylik L'Elam.
Maybe that's why.
No, it seems to say that the Tzibah lost his L'Elam Abba beforehand. What happened with the suicide, I don't know. It's good to Ari, you're making it. Why is it going to be suicide? I don't know. That's my advice to the Amr Abiyachim, it's good to call David L'Chaytayfel Rabbi. First David called L'Chaytayfel his Rebbe. Then he refers to him as a friend, and then he called him a student, because the truth is Achitayfel filled three roles to David HaMelech. He was his Rebbe, the fact that he taught him two halachas. He was his friend, together they learned, and he was his student in the sense he was an advisor to David HaMelech. He's from David HaMelech's two top advisors. He became a traitor in the sense that he joined Avshalom, because he saw, as we saw a while ago, he was one of those people that saw and didn't know what they were seeing, and he saw that he would have malchus from him, didn't realize that it was coming from his great-granddaughter, Bathsheba. He thought it was coming from him, and therefore he joined Avshalom's rebellion, which he thought would be his road to malchus. But he, at one point, was David's chief advisor. How do we see this? So the Gemara B'tchila Kari Rabbi says in the Pasuk, Vato Enish Kareki, you were a man of my level. I'm going to need help in translation here. Kareki, my level, my
measure.
My measure. Alufi, my leader.
Mentor.
Umi Udoy, my friend. Rashi, Alufi, Hainu Rebbe. Lubasayv Kara Chaverai. And at the end, he called him friend. Ashiyachdiv Nam Tiksai, together. We did something with...
We take sweet counsel.
Sweet counsel. The Beisalikim Halach Baragash. We went with awe. What does he say? We went to the base of the Kimba.
We walk in company.
Walking company? I didn't know Baragas went company. Well, the Messiah of Kari Tamidai, and at the end he called him a student, Gamit Shlomi, man of my peace, I should be Tachti boy, that I relied on him. Eichu Lachmi, the one who ate my bread, which means Lomi Terasi, he learned from me. Rashi says, Higdala Le'akev means.
Raised his heel
against me, to trample me. Fine. There's an interesting part in the Baal Shem Tov. The Gemara says in Brachos that if a person learns one halacha from a friend, even Dover Echad, he's mechuyev to call him Rebbe. And the Gemara brings a raya from Achitayfel. Ma Dover Shalei Lamed Achitayfel. It's a Mishnah, really. Ma Lamed Shadavid, it's a Mishnah Novus. Shalei Lamed Achitayfel El Shnei Halachas. He called him Alufi Miyudoi. So Koshki is someone who learns from his friend, Philip Dover Echad, is mechuyev to call him Rebbe. And the question is, it's not a good Kavach Omer. David learned two things. How can you prove any one item from David HaMelech who learned two things from Achitayfel? So the halacha should be if you learn two things from your friend, you call him Rebbe, like we see by Achitayfel. Not by one thing. So Hashem Tov says that every Torah comes with a Kedusha that leads you to learn more. So So when a friend teaches you one item, he's not teaching you one item. He's giving you the Kedusha Satira of that one item that carries on and on and on. Achitaifu, however, wasn't a tzaddik. Since he wasn't a tzaddik, his Taira was very limited. It was just the fact that he taught. It didn't add that Kedusha. It didn't give David HaMelech that Taisus Kedusha because it came from Achitaifu. So the Kabbalah goes, Marach David HaMelech, who only learned from Achitaifu two things, and they remain two things. Koshkin, someone who learned from his friend, even one thing which multiplies, is for sure Mechuyev to call him Rabbi. That's the word from Baal Shem Tov. Something right.
Is that a practical halacha?
It means to say there has to be some respect. Doesn't mean you have to get up for it. Something right. Okay, now we're going to get involved in the story of David and Bathsheba. A person should not ask for tests. David HaMelech brought himself to a test. And he stumbled. Amalavanov, he said in front of Hashem, Rabbi Nishloy, the master of the universe. Why do people say, David, and we don't say, David? Now, why did he ask to say, David? Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have, Moshe. So why should David HaMelech think he's entitled to, David? So multiple pshatim are said. One pshat is that he was the regular revere of the Merkava. There's a Merkava up there, a chariot, whatever that means, I don't know. Whatever this Kabbalistic Merkava is, has four legs. And they are Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. So David's trying to figure out, if he is the regular revere of the Merkava, why doesn't he get a Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, and Lekei Yaakov? He should have a Lekei David. That is what he's trying to figure out. So some want to learn. Others want to learn that he was Avi HaMalchus. He said, they're of us in their sense, I'm an Av in my sense, there should be a Lekei David for the fact that I am the Av of Malchus, because it's going to be Malchus Beis David, that should entitle me to be called a Lekei David. Again, different shatim that are said, David HaMelech wanted to know why he's not a Lekei David. Amr, he said, Hashem told him, Inu Minsuli, they were tested by me, they passed tests. Vatle Minsuli, you did not pass the test. Now, what that means, I don't know. David HaMelech led a rather eventful life, chased by Shaul, persecuted by Dayag, questioned whether his Yadus was a Yadus, and if you go with the Medrash, spent the first years of his life really ostracized from his own family. So he really had a pretty tough life. But I guess the concept called Nisayon was not given to him. What that means exactly, I'm not sure, because he did not leave a very quiet, serene life without any problem. He lived a rather difficult life up to that point as well. But I guess the Rabbi Nishlam did not give him a test in the sense of the shyness of the others that he passed. And therefore, he does not get a Lekei David. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, yes.
When did he say Psalm 22?
I don't know. I can't answer the question. I don't know.
Can you elaborate a little bit on Tal is Yadut?
What do you think? They doubted his.
Oh, they doubted.
I said they questioned his ability to be a kosher Jew. They said he's from an Amidus. Okay. From Lavis, to be exact. Yes. I didn't say he doubted his Yadus. They doubted his Yadus. I said he went through all those things in his life, and that's not considered Nisayon. That's what I'm pointing out.
None of those are considered.
Hashem said you were in test.
I said he didn't pass it.
He passed every one of those tests.
So,
they were tested and you were not tested. So in order to avoid people asking me this question, I asked it myself. He did have a lot of things going on in his life. I don't know why they don't qualify to be Nisyanis, but they don't. I don't know why. That's the answer. Yes.
Something which may be relevant. The Rav actually defines a test and a Nisyanis mask as a test of others. That's obviously the nature of a test. The answers are hidden. And if David HaMelech had lived, even despite all of the Nisyanis, all of the tribulations, in an ability to perceive the Rabbanu Shalom, see the Rabbanu Shalom in front of him, then it's not a test. At that point,
Could be, again, I'm not arguing, questioning, it needs time and thing, but I'm just pointing out, if for whatever reason, what had happened till then was not called passing tests on the Avos scale. That's all the Gemara is saying.
That's
all I'm saying. I'm reading a Gemara.
That's why it's about 22, because that's essentially the Mizmor of Hestakonim.
I don't know. Amalubana Rabbanish Lalam Bukhanaini Vinasaini. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me. Shanama Bukhanaini Hashem Vinasaini, test me. Bukhanaini, I guess, means quiz me. Must be a different word for test.
Try me.
Bukhana. Try me and test me. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Mensina Lach, I will test you. Vavidna Milsa Badach, and I will do something with you that I didn't do for them. Din Ludidu Lehadin Tinu. To them, I never told them where their area of test would be till it arrived, and they were struck by it, and they had to pass. And you, I will tell you your area of test. The mansinulach b'dvar erva. I will test you in a issue of erva. Viad, vahila esa erev.
Aren't we all tested daily?
Didn't I ask this question 3.5 minutes ago? I said, I don't understand why would David HaMelech live through them with not called test. Didn't I just finish saying that before people ask me the question, I will ask it myself?
Maybe that's
David. Well, it's the same thing. We're talking about David.
I mean, Yosef.
Again, I mean, you want to go through everybody in the world that had tests? I mean, exactly what you're trying to prove. Isn't that exactly what I just said 2 minutes ago? I said, David HaMelech lived a very difficult life. Those are not called Nisyonos. I don't know why. So you're telling me, doesn't everybody have Nisyonos? What we call Nisyonos, everybody has them. What the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is referring to in this, not everybody has them.
I only had 4 coffees so far.
Okay. I don't understand why is your question any different than the one I just worded 3 minutes ago.
No.
Yes.
I mean, in the end, the Rav's differentiation of life. We don't have tests. We have temptations. We know what we're supposed to do. We have a Shulchan Aruch. We have things that tempt us.
Yeah, I don't want to go through this because it's going to take me through all the others. They knew what they had to do as well. Abraham Avinu knew exactly what he had to do. He had Hester Bonner, but he knew what he had to do. Hashem told him, go take your kid to the Mizrayach. It's not a question, he doesn't know what he has to do. Hashem tells him, Lach Lecha, he knows what he has to do. It's not a question of not knowing what he has to do. It's a question he's faced with an Nisayan without the Gilui Panim and Siyata Dishmaya that he normally avails himself of, and he has to pass the test on his own. So I don't, as I said, I don't want to go there now because we're not discussing the other Nisayans now. I really don't want to spend time on this.
Yes. But maybe others, because they passed and gave us the clap, be able to pass our test.
Maybe. But then again, it doesn't go. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah,
that's also true. All I'm pointing out is that when HaMelech lived, obviously the meaning of Nisayon is not living a life of trial and tribulation. Because if that were the meaning of the way we call Nisayonus, the generic term of Nisayonus, where we consider, Rachmana Litzlan, it should never happen to anybody, any trial or tribulation that passes us as an Nisayon, in our generic sense, that's not what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam meant when he told David HaMelech, you haven't passed any tests. I mean, David HaMelech has passed many a trial and tribulation on his way to becoming where he was at that point. So obviously, it's a different level of test that's being required of him. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, unlike them, where I didn't pre-warn them about where the area of test will come, you, I am pre-warning where the area of test will come. And it's going to come b'dvar erva.
Maybe a doesn't count as pre-knowledge?
I said, it's not a pre-warning before it arrives. It was given to him at the time. He's given the test, go. He's not told a week before, you're going to be tested in an area of this area, so be preparing yourself for it. David HaMelech is being told that you're going to get a test ultimately in the area of Erva. Be ready for it. It's a pre-warning which the others did not get. It's clear. Avraham Avinu did not get a pre-warning about the Akedah. He said he was told, go do the Akedah. He was not warned a year before or a month before. Prepare yourself for a major test that's headed your way.
Avraham, we know there was 10.
I have no idea. There's no mention of them. They're being lumped together as having passed tests. But we don't have any documentation that I'm aware of the number of tests that Yitzchak and Yaakov had.
And Hashem gave it to them, but the sudden...
We don't believe in two deities. This is what you think is an entity called the Satan.
No,
Satan is nothing. No, Satan is a robot. Satan has no power. We don't believe in the devil. All those things are different religion. We believe that only the Rabbi Nishleilam. Ain Oid Muvadai.
And that was what would happen even without the story of the Satan coming to Hashem saying, no, that's not wrong.
Again. That's all Midrashim. It's not. That's the problem when learning things on face value, is that we think that there's something called the Satan who comes to Hashem on his own. There's no Satan that does anything on his own. Satan is a robot. Satan is a robot. It's not. There's no extra power out there called the Satan who makes his decisions of what to do. There's no such thing. He's the Rabbi Nishleilam. Einai Bovada is the only source of power. He is the only power. Chazal are trying to illustrate to us a system which we can relate to, where there's prosecutors and defense attorneys and Tainas and Senegerim. That's the way the Rabbi Nishleilam set up the system to work. That Einai Bovada, no one does anything without the Rabbi Nishleilam, including the Satan. The Satan is a robot that's instructed to represent a certain part of what's supposed to be happening. And therefore the Satan comes, whatever that means it's time for Avraham Avinu to show a certain level of Avas Hashem, and therefore it's time to test him. So it's being presented in language that we can understand. That's the whole thing. There is no separate entity, there is no Bechira to Malachim, it's been said many a time from here, and that's what it is. There is no separate entity. So Davar Malach is being told by the Rabbi Hashem is going to be tested. Now we're entering the story of Bathsheba. I want to clearly state this before we start, so we can lay all this talk to rest right away. David HaMelech did not violate Eish HaSish. That is a given. He did not violate Eish HaSish. Chazal told us, "Kalaimer David Chata Ein Elutaya." Whoever says David sinned in the way the Torah illustrates it is only making a mistake. However, the Pasuk presents it as an Eish HaSish. Why the Pasuk and Chazal deal with it from the perspective of Eish HaSish, we will see moment, is a shmooze in itself. The Ram asked this question. The Ram wants to know, why in the world is the Pasuk presenting it as an Eish HaSish if it really wasn't an Eish HaSish? Why did the Pasuk leave it to Chazal to tell us that whoever says David sinned as an Eish HaSish is making a mistake? Let the Torah tell me he didn't sin with an Eish HaSish. Instead of this being a matter of controversy in his time, in future times, and those Bible critics, Afalu Pumayu, who come along and say that David HaMelech sinned, right? Why is this even a Pesach? He didn't sin Eish HaSish. Why couldn't the Pasuk be explicit? So the Ran says that there's a reason for it. The Rabbi Nishleilam engaged, Kaviyachol, in creating a facade for a reason. It's presented as an Eish HaSish because David HaMelech got this Aveira for a purpose. He got this Aveira because David HaMelech's role in this world was to teach the world the concept of tshuva. He had to teach the power of tshuva. The worse you make his chait sound, the more power you are showing tshuva can do. So David HaMelech, because his tachlis in life is to teach tshuva, is presented in a way of committing a chait that he never committed, in order that people should see that even though he engaged in such activity, right, which was not Eish HaSish, but was perceived as Eish HaSish, and people walk around thinking it was Eish HaSish, he still did tshuva, he still became David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, he still, as the Gemara will say later on, is the reason that the door swung open by the Beis HaMikdash. He was given complete mechila from the Rabbi Nishleilam, he became the regal revi of the Merkava, he became the fourth wheel of the Merkava, to show us the power of tshuva. And that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which Omer Hashem we will get to a few weeks from now, where the Gemara will talk about David HaMelech's teaching the power of tshuva. So therefore, the Pasuk paints you a picture of Eish HaSish. In reality, it wasn't Eish HaSish. Why wasn't it Eish HaSish? Machlokes Rishonim. The Gemara says why it wasn't Eish HaSish. I just want to finish. But the Gemara, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi learns, the Gemara says as follows. Everybody that went out to war used to divorce their wives for the fear that they might not return from war. So Uriah HaChiti, who was the husband of Bathsheba, went out to war because he was sent to war. He wrote a get to his wife. Rashi learns the get was written conditionally. If he doesn't return at the end, she will be retroactively divorced. I'm sorry? He doesn't make it back to war, period. anyway, he doesn't come back from war. Therefore, retroactively, she's not an Eishes Ish. Therefore, at the time the David sinned, according to Rashi, committed this act, there was no way of knowing whether she was an Eishes Ish or not. Because it would depend if Uriah makes it back ultimately at the end of the war. He didn't. Retroactively, she was not an Eishes Ish, and therefore, he did not sin with Eishes Ish. Tysus disagrees with Rashi, and Tysus learns that the get was given without any conditions. Every man that went out to get to war divorced his wife unconditionally. She was not an Eishes Ish. She was not even a Suffolk Eishes Ish. People perceived her as an Eishes Ish because these gittin were given under QT. They were given very quiet because they didn't want people to pursue these women to marry them. They wanted them to be available for their husbands when they come back from war. So they didn't play up these divorces. They were played down and kept very quiet. But every single woman that her husband went to war was a single woman, no longer married. That's what was. Now, the reason people perceived it as an Eishes Ish is because these gittin were not filed in public record, and they were not made into a big tumult, and people didn't yap about it, because the purpose was to keep this concept quiet, so when people come back from war, not to find that their wife had decided to marry somebody else in the meantime. That's how Tysus explains it. So it's like this Rashi and Tysus, to what degree David HaMelech, when he engaged, was there a problem of Eishes Ish? According to Tysus, none at all. According to Rashi, it would depend on the end of the outcome, which was not an Eishes Ish. However, the Pasuk definitely writes it up as if it's an Eishes Ish. The Gemara here will write it up as if it's an Eishes Ish. The Gemara will not mention once in this Amud that it wasn't an Eishes Ish. The Gemara says that in Shabbos. The Gemara says that in Subbos. The Gemara does not say that in Masechta Sanhedrin. So in this Gemara, we are going to go on perceiving the way Chazal wanted us to perceive this, the way Chazal wanted us to view David HaMelech's tshuva, as if he's doing tshuva for a chayt of an Eishes Ish. This is what's happening in this Gemara today. So therefore, we're going to lay that to rest. We're going to put it away. And it's not Eishes Ish. It wasn't Eishes Ish. Either Rashi's shot or Tysus' shot. But it's being perceived, it's being presented that way in order to enhance David HaMelech's teaching of the power of tshuva. Yes, Hanan.
When we learned Navi, I mean, that was pointed out that when Uriah came into home, he didn't even try to see his wife, which indicates, which reinforces that idea.
Right. Yes.
So first, he's not supposed to do no Kahanim in the army?
Yes.
What about the conditional get, which does Rosh, does that preclude Kahanim in the army?
I don't think Kahanim in the army anyway. I haven't seen Kahanim in the army anyway, but I don't know that as a fact or not fact. I mean, I'm just speculating.
Would the conditional get include a wife
and a husband? It's a machlokes. I think the Gemara says even a get al-Kanai might ask for a lakuna. But I don't know if they're a husband. I don't know.
I mean, to her husband, for us, one's a
time. I don't know. Fine. So, that's the Gemara. Vahila Eisera Miyat. Vahila Eisera Vayakam David Mal Mishkavai. Pasuk says it wasn't the evening, and David got up Mal Mishkavai. What does that mean? Amar of Yehuda Shahavach Mishkavai Shalaydal Mishkavai Shayayad. David HaMelech decided he was going to take matters in his hands, and he was going to guarantee that he passed his test. And he went, and he started living with his wives not only at night, but also a day, to make sure that he's not Mahar after another woman. To take away any ability that he should have a hero for another woman, whereas people usually do not have relationship with their husband, with their wives during the daytime, he had them both at night and a day to preclude him having any taiva for another woman, so he should be able to pass the test the Rabbeinu Shlom had told him is waiting for him. Rashi. She should be satisfied. Now, whether that legal or not, the Achrayim say there is a legal way for a person to have tashmish b'yayim, if it's a bias up, if it's in a dark room, so therefore it wasn't a question of him violating anything by doing that. He did it totally with Shem Shemayim in order that he should be able to pass the test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was coming. However, he forgot a fact. Eivra katan yesh ba'adam, Chazal tell us a person has a small eivra, referring to his private part of his body. The way that works is, the more you satisfy it, the more it lusts. And the more you starve it, the less it lusts. It's satisfied. The more tashmish one has, the more tashmish one desires. The more tashmish one desires, the more susceptible one is to hearer. That is what his mistake was. He thought by being available to his wives all the time, or having his wives available to him all the time, he would preclude the Nisayan. He ended up stoking the Nisayan because he put himself in a position of Masbiyai Rav. That was his mistake. Vayisalu Hagag Beis HaMelech. He took a walk on the rooftop. Vayar Isha Rechetzes Mi'Hagag. He saw a woman bathing from the roof. Vayisha Tevis Marim Ma'ayit, and she was very nice looking. That the Gemara Basheva Kachai Pereshe Tusa Cholsom. Basheva was bathing, washing her hair under a umbrella type, a beehive type contraption, where she was totally covered from being seen by anybody. Basheva would not act in a non-sneistic way publicly. She was obviously washing her hair, which required her to become visible, parts of her body become visible, but she was totally covered. She was covered by this chosa, this beehive contraption that blocked anybody from being able to see in. What happened was, Asa Sutton Idmalei Kitziburta. The Sutton shows up, again, manifestation of Ratzon Hashem, and appears like a bird. Pasik Begira, David HaMelech sends an arrow towards that bird. Paskil Chalosa, the arrow pierces that contraption of the beehive type of contraption, the Gaulia uncovers Basheva, the Chajed, he sees her.
Why did he shoot the bird?
This is what happened. Viad, by Yishlag David, by he sent people to find out who that lady is. By Yaiman, he said, whoever he sent came back and told him. Haloi, Vazayt Basheva, Bas Eliam, this is this daughter of Basheva, the daughter of, I'm sorry, this is Basheva, the daughter of Eliam, Eishes Uriah Achiti, the wife of Uriah Achiti. Vayishkav David, Malachim David, sent messengers, Vayikachai, he took her, Vatavi Elim, she came to him, Vayishkav Ima, he lived with her, Vimiskadeshes Mitzumasa, she was not in Nida, she had been cleaned from Nidas, Vatashav Obeis, and she went back home. Vahainu Dechsev, and this is what David HaMelech said, Vachan Talibi, you tested my heart, Pekata Laila, you tested me about something that usually happens at night, which is Tashmish. Shraftani, you purified me. Baltimsa, you did not find me pure. Zamaisi Bayavr, I wish I would have muzzled myself, that my mouth should never have uttered, please test me. Amar, he said, I wish a muzzle had fallen in the mouth of the one that I hate. Referring to himself, but he didn't want to say bad about himself. He says, the one I hate, I wish would have been muzzled. Meaning, basically, I wish I would have muzzled myself and not asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu the test. I shouldn't have asked for this test. So, Krashi, but it's Alma Men Halokha Shemazbiya Eivori B'Tashmish Rav Umar B'Taiva. One who satisfies his Eivor with a B'Tashmish makes it hungry. Mitzalach Hagag HaMelech L'Yosina V'Hainu. We take out the word V'Hainu. Chalsa Kaveres is a beehive. Pasig Vegira B'Kaveres L'Mishahika V'Shibra. Hit it and broke it. Mishnachrina Pascha, it opened up. Shavra Beniftacha. I'm not 100% sure whether he broke it or the arrow caused it to open up. I'm not 100% sure what the difference is in the two pshatim. I think one pshat is it opened it, and one pshat is it broke it. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe the first pshat is that it broke it. Second pshat is that it opened it. Skadashis Mitumasa, Isisha Pasik Tumasa, Lebolak Shinida. Her Tumah had gone, and he did not live with her when she was Anida. And in those days, unlike today, when a woman doesn't have a husband, she doesn't keep Tara, she doesn't keep herself Tahar. In those days, because of Tum and Tara, they kept themselves Tahar, even single girls. Meaning any woman that was Anida went to the mikvah as soon as she could, so her food that she touches should not become Tame. They kept Tum and Tara. So they didn't stop going to the mikvah because husband wasn't home. They continued doing whatever was necessary because of Taras. Pekata Laila, Amaisa Laila, you tested me about the work of a night, Pekatoni. If I should be able, whether I be able to last in the Sayin of Dvaravera. Shantani Baltimsa, Choshavta Lutzafeni, Blemet, the Sunny Nuki. You wanted to purify me, but I didn't pass the test. I was not found to be Nuki. If he rested in Halvai, I would have had a muzzle. The Amshila Akiv is Devar, and I could have kept my words in. Shle Eimer Davizeh Shabachoneni, that I shouldn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please test me.
What's on the song?
I lost you. Did he marry her at this point? No. At this point, he didn't marry her. No.
Was there anything wrong with having Tashmish with her?
Well, most definitely was. According to Rashi, he was playing with a possible Ashish. Right.
Let's say it wasn't an Ashish.
It's probably a bit to say. Now, the Malbim says that David HaMelech committed two sins. When the Malbim goes through the whole Parsha, he ends up that David HaMelech committed two sins. Neither related to this very act that just took place now. The Malbim blames David HaMelech for cover-up. When the baby was born, he did not act as the baby. He wanted to cover it up and not reveal that he's the father of the baby that they conceived, which could have made problems in the long run, because the baby would have grown up not knowing whose real father is. And the Malbim says that was David HaMelech's mistake. He should not have engaged in cover-up. It didn't get covered up anyway at the end of the day. But at one point, he was trying to bring Uriah home to make her as if she was pregnant from Uriah. And people should perceive it as Uriah's baby, not as his baby. And that, the Malbim says, is one taina on David HaMelech. And the second taina is with Uriah Achiti. There's a taina in how he treated Uriah later on. That's what the Malbim says. The Malbim does not view anything that happened at this point as a chait. The Malbim goes with Taisus Nishita that there was no Ashes Ish at all. So to Rashi, he did play around with the suffix Ashes Ish at the time, ended up that he did not commit Ashes Ish. Machlokes is Rashi and Taisus.
Was he positive? Was he regretting so much?
Because A, the perception was Ashes Ish. The Chil Hashem Shabbai, the talk in town was Ashes Ish. B, David HaMelech and his Madrega, these missteps are major, even though in our minds they seem minor.
I don't know. This seems to be like, how did you say it was not, obviously he's overcome by this. I mean, it seems like that's what
Again, Kalaimer David Chata, I have Chazal to tell me, Kalaimer David Chata, Ein Elotaya. Whoever says David committed Ashes Ish is making a mistake. That's not a sin. If she's single, it's not a sin. It might be a bit to say. It's not Ashes Ish. It's not anything punishable by the amount of punishment that David received.
But to say that David didn't do anything wrong.
Chata means Ashes Ish. He did not do Ashes Ish.
His question was, did he do anything wrong?
It is the.
He didn't do anything. Talk right here, talking about the ready ad. And how he didn't control the Jay's body, and he miscalculated by, you know, thinking that he was, by say shit. It seems it's a double passion.
I'm not here to weigh sins, but this is viewed as a very minor one. She's not an Ida, she's not an Asian sis, she's a single girl, and they're living out of wedlock. That's the sin.
He sent her home.
Well, that's where she lived. He sent her back to her house. That's where she lived.
Further intentions.
He sent it to her house. Where should he send her?
That's why I asked if there was no nesuah involved. In other words, he had no plans to marry her.
There's no mention at this point of nesuah. He marries her later on. The Gemara is going to talk about the fact that he recognized her to be his second half. He knew she was his preordained wife, but he did not marry her at this point.
Was there anything wrong with that?
It was out of wedlock.
Is that an avera?
I said it's not Ashes Ish, it's a minor avera.
Minor?
It's a bit to say.
At this time, also, the legacy was gone.
I'm going to say something that's going to get me into trouble here. It's probably like missing Zman Kriya Shema in the morning.
Oh, Rebbe, come on.
I just answered you.
Oh, Rebbe, please.
Bit to say.
No,
I do not. The issue is because you're supposed to marry a woman and he didn't marry her. It's a bitwate. It wasn't that she was Kadesha. She didn't do this on a regular basis. He didn't do it on a regular basis. So there's no Kadesh and no Kadesh.
I heard on a newspaper the plain dealer that John missed Kirshma. Front page. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe someone told me there's a magazine called that.
Yes.
Is that
a legacy? Didn't take her as a legacy either.
I agree, but at this point, it's not like nowadays where
But if the Gadlador all of a sudden
Exactly. Very weird. And that's exactly what happened.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Again, doctor?
By the way, she was seven.
Okay. Well, they'd look even weirder if she was seven, but let's make her at least 18.
She was. We had it earlier. That I can tell you, it was 33. We went through the generations, right? The Gemara earlier in Sanhedrin. Okay.
For an adult to marry an 18-year-old girl because
in those days they got married much younger, and she was seven at the time.
She had a child at age seven.
That's the Gemara said. Remember the Gemara said the Dairus were showing them by Lidu. That was a whole sugi in the Gemara. We wanted to prove that they could give birth to eight. And then the Gemara says maybe Bathsheba was only six or seven. That was the Gemara we had earlier in Sanhedrin. The Gemara wanted to prove from Betzal. The Gemara brought a whole kinds of proofs that people had babies at eight. And one of the proofs was Bathsheba. Achitophel dies at 33, and she is his great granddaughter.
She became pregnant from this?
Yes. Yes, she became pregnant. Again, I think we have to view this in the context. And it's going to be clear in the next piece of Gemara, which I don't understand, I'll be honest. Even after having said what I'm going to say now, I have difficulty with a few lines from now. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and we have to view it in that context. This is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Hashem, we will get there in a few weeks from now. David was really not holding at that level. This is not the Nisayan that should have been given to David HaMelech. He was way beyond this kind of a test. Ela lahayrois tshuva liyachad. The Rabbi Nishlam set him up that he should be the teacher of tshuva to an individual. That a person should realize that a person can do a terrible chait and still be able to do tshuva. The whole circumstance is arranged that he's perceived to be Eishes Ish. At everybody, the Rishonim in the generation that tormented David. As the Gemara will say soon, in the middle of Shir, they used to interrupt him to ask him, what's that local with someone who lives with an Eishes Ish? They kept on asking him. And he was not exonerated in the public view till after he died. While he was alive, never got exonerated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exonerated him after he died. And we'll see how in this Gemara later on. So this Rabbi Nishan sets this up because David HaMelech's purpose in life is to teach Shuvah. And therefore he has to be set up in a way that he is going to be Klal Yisrael's Rebbe for Shuvah. The Mizmor HaShuvah that Rabbi Yaina builds so much of Hilchos Shuvah on is written by David HaMelech in Kapitel Nun Aleph.
Wouldn't it be a bigger case if he actually did do it? The real lesson.
Because the Rabbi Nishan did not want David HaMelech to do Eishes Ish. Because then he would be Chayav Misa. Then he would be Chayav Misa, and Shuvah couldn't help him, at least from the punishment that he deserves. But he has to, the lesson is being set up in a way to be perceived to be terrible. In truth, wasn't so terrible. But given David HaMelech's status, becomes very terrible, as Dr. Schwab pointed out, because view it from the way people viewed it, and it was just like people just couldn't believe what was happening, and. Yet he did tshuva, yet was exonerated, yet the Rabbi Nishlam stood to his side, and as we will see later on, he suffered terribly. All this is to show people the power of tshuva. That was his life. That was his life mission. In order for him to accomplish his life mission, this had to happen. Now, I'm going to read a Gemara before I answer any questions, so we might as well get all that questions in that Gemara, too, because that's the most difficult part for me to understand, coming up in about four lines. So, just wait till I finish the next piece of Gemara. Ba'matayach l'David, conducted to David, Hashem chotisi. I relied on Hashem. Echtemru l'navshi, how can you say about my soul, nudi harkam tzipar. Your mountain has flown away like a bird. Amar David l'fei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chor li alay sa'avon. Forgive me on the sin of Bathsheba. Shloyoimu, people shouldn't say Harshabachem, the big one, the king, Tzipor Nidadasai. A bird got him to mess up. Meaning, they would say, David HaMelech, a little bird got him to mess up. The bird that flew around that he shot the arrow at. Tarish Rav Ma'idach Tivit says in the Pasuk, and this is the next Gemara that I have the most difficult time understanding, but the Gemara says it, and this fits into the thing I was trying to say before. Tarish Rav Ma'idach Tivit L'chol L'vat Chachatasi, I only sinned for you. V'har Rabba Anecha Atzisi, and I did bad in your eyes. L'man, why did I do it? Tizdak B'tivarecha, you should be righteous in your words. Tizke B'shavtecha, you should be innocent in your judgment. You should be correct in your judgment. I'm a David of Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. You know, Rabbi Shlomo, that I could have overcome my Yetzer Hara. I had the ability to overcome the Yetzer Hara. El Amina, I said, you said I can't pass the test. You had warned me and told me not to want this test because I can't pass it. If I would have passed it, I would have proved you wrong. I couldn't prove you wrong. I flunked the test. This is the Gemara. Simply taken, the Gemara is saying that Rav HaMelech made a calculated decision to flunk the test. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. I'll be honest, I have a difficult time understanding it. But in the context that we're trying to say, is it had to happen this way. If Rav HaMelech's role in life is to teach Shuvah, he has to be put in a position where he can teach Shuvah. So he fails this test and becomes the Rebbe for Shuvah forever and ever and ever. He becomes Klal Yisrael's Rebbe for Tshuva, which is why he lived. Now, I don't want to get involved in Kabbalah because I don't know any of it. But it said, let me just finish. Adam stands for Adam David Mashiach. David HaMelech was a Gilgul of Adam Arishan. Adam sinned. David HaMelech came to the world to teach Tshuva so the world can reach Mashiach. Adam stands for Adam David Mashiach. David HaMelech becomes the Rebbe of Tshuva. In fact, just want to share a little part that I said in the Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim says that at the Suda Lasa Bavai, Kodesh Baruch Hu will ask Avraham Avinu to bench. Avraham Avinu will say, I can't bench because I had Yishmael. And Kodesh Baruch Hu will go to Yitzchak to bench, and he'll say, I can't bench, I had Esav. And he'll go to Yaakov to bench, and Yaakov will say, I can't bench, I married two sisters. And he'll go to Moshe to bench, and Moshe says, I can't bench, I never made it to Eretz Yisrael. And he'll go to Yeshua to bench, and Yeshua says, I never had a son. Can't bench. He'll go to David to bench, and David will say, I'm the one that should bench. And the question is, everything nice and dandy. David HaMelech had some sins. The other ones seem to be bothered by their sin to the point that they refuse to bench by the Suda. They're not taking the Kaisha Birkos HaMazon. And David HaMelech accepts it. The answer is because that's David HaMelech's whole life. His whole life is, even imperfect people can do tshuva and become perfect. If you're looking for perfection, Avraham Avinu says he's not perfect, and Yitzchak says he's not perfect, and Yaakov says he's not perfect, and Moshe and Yeshua also say they're not perfect. So, but HaMelech says, I don't have to be perfect. I can do tshuva. That was my tachlis in life. My tachlis in life was to teach that a person can slip and not be perfect and still bench. And that's why I should bench, because that's what I taught the world. That's what my role in the world was, to teach the power of tshuva. This is David HaMelech teaching tshuva. He's faced with an Assyrian. The Gemara says he could have overcame it. I don't know what this Gemara means. And he didn't overcome it. He's set up in the situation. He's being blamed for the worst of sins. He lives a life where he's tormented and he suffers terrible yisurim because for the chait that he did commit, which needs a... on David HaMelech's level, needs an unbelievable kapara because he lives on a different level than we live on. And, at the end of the day, is exonerated. At the end of the day, becomes the teacher of tshuva to everybody. If anybody commits a chait, we tell him, you're not worse than David HaMelech. You can do tshuva also. And that's exactly what his role in life was, and he carried it out to the T.
He did it on purpose?
This is what the Gemara says here. Which I can't understand.
I said to do tshuva. It must be glass of shuva.
Again, this is a setup from the Rabbi Nishtalim. He views it as a setup. And this Gemara is saying he went along with the setup. Again, I can't understand. I have trouble with this Gemara. I said when I started, I can't explain this Gemara. I read the Gemara, but it fits in to the whole concept of what David HaMelech's life is about. Yes. No, I'm sorry.
Number one, Yehuda did shuva. I thought we learned it from him.
No. The teacher of shuva for the world is David HaMelech. That's what the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah. We'll talk about it maybe in Avodah Zarah. Maybe the Mepharshim may ask why not. Reuven did tshuva, Yehuda did tshuva. But the tshuva that we learn from is David HaMelech's tshuva. He is the teacher of tshuva for Klal Yisrael.
And what about David benching?
Did Avraham have to do tshuva for having a small?
Again, Avraham is saying, I'm not perfect. David HaMelech is saying, you don't have to be perfect.
The story is, just,
I don't know. I'm not going to get involved now in Avraham and Yeshua. I think we're off the subject. It's a good question. Good aura. I don't know.
The answer is because you should have served.
What?
The answer is
because
you should have served.
Exactly. That's what
you're saying. That's the answer to the question. It's more than just tshuva. I mean, the emes is this is part of the necessary lineage. But you look at Ruth, you look at
it all leads to David's tshuva.
Every single one of these things of necessity have to come with the appearance of something which is not good in order to bring Mashiach in this world. Period. I mean, it's the definition, the paradigm. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not speaking against
that. The Svarim say, just to answer your question in a short way, that Yishmael comes from Avraham Avinu because it's part of the purification process of Klal Yisrael.
Right, but not necessarily. Okay.
Again, but that's what it is. So if it's part of the purification process, it's a... I have to watch my mouth.
But
I shouldn't say the words out. But Avraham Avinu perceives himself as imperfect. I'll say it that way. Because the purification process is necessary means Avraham Avinu perceives himself as not being perfect. Again, I'm not talking about others. You know what I mean? I know enough just to know that you couldn't find a number to multiply the difference between us and the others. So therefore, it's beyond our number system. So I'm not even going to bother. But just to say that in the perception of Avraham Avinu, he lacked perfection. Yishmael is a riot that he's not yet perfect. Again, you don't want to learn the Pshat and the Gemara Pesachim, don't learn the Pshat and the Gemara Pesachim, we're off the subject, yes.
Since Fred Margaret has already brought up the whole Shem Tov, I might as well do it twice the risk of going there. But the whole Shem Tov understands Shevi Yippel Tzadik will come is that the Nefilah is what makes the Tzadik into a Tzadik. And by David Melech, it was the various Nefilahs and the various Nesionahs, which is the ones which made him into who he was, whereas
right.
Being Melech Yishmael is not what made Avram into what Avram was.
Okay. Rashi. Don't Rashi. Har Shebechem, Melech Shebechem. Tzipur Nidzasid, I did Tzipur Nidra, because I'm at Adami Edmili. Had me like a tzipor, it seemed like a bird. Lemare, haven't nitzchil la'adayna b'seichachsai. It would mean that I won, and I can't be the winner. That's the Gemara about. Darish Ravim.
And that's different than Avram being the winner.
Yes, because Avram was never told that he can't pass the test. Avraham HaMelech had been told by Hashem that you can't pass the test.
Well,
he said, you can't be like the others. They were tested, and you can't. You won. He said, test me. I said, Mr. Fine, I'll rewarn you, which is like saying, you know, you don't stand a chance.
Is that what he's saying?
That's what the Gemara is saying here.
Wow.
Darish Rav Maidach Sivan says in the Pasuk, Kanila Tzelem Nochoin Umachoy V'Negdi Sabat. I am prepared for my side, for my rib, which means for my wife. But my pain is in front of me always. Ruyo Eisa Basheva Bataliyim L'David M'sheshes Yimei Breshes. She was his Zivug M'sheshes Yimei Breshes. Now, when I'm bothered by... Zivugim aren't decided Mesheshes Yimei Breshes. They're decided Aboam Yom Kedem Mitzirus Avlad. So all different kinds of truths are said. I mean, I'll tell you what I thought before I saw the question and saw the answers. I thought that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split Adam and Chava, he split every husband and every wife. So even though they're not announced till 40 days Kedem Mitzirus Avlad, but the every Neshama has its counterpart really from the days of Mesheshes Yimei Breshes. In the splitting of Adam and Chava was the splitting of every husband and every wife. That's how I thought. However, the Mefarshim don't say that, so I am wrong. So the Mefarshim say that if David is a Gilgal of Adam, then Bathsheba is a Gilgal of Chava. And therefore, Ruyo Haisel of David, Mesheshes Yimei Breshes. Because if David is a Gilgal of Adam, Bathsheba is a Gilgal of Chava, and therefore they are already predestined Mesheshes Yimei Breshes. Yes.
Wasn't the donkey of the Mishnah Chamar of the Mashiach?
What's the idea with this?
Erev Shabbos. This is all part of the
I don't know, Kabbalah. I just... Fine. Anyway, let's go back.
I mean, even though she married...
I said I'm wrong. I said I thought of it that way. I always viewed Zivugim as you're getting the part that was separated from you all the way back then, when we were all part of Adam Rishon. But from the fact that nobody says it, they say other Terutzim, I have drawn the conclusion that I am wrong, and therefore this is a special thing that Mishesh is to
Mebrech. Even though she didn't marry a kid.
But that gets into another thing which I will get to momentarily, which can get me shot 60 times over. But it's a thing. Ella Shaboy Lubimachov. But she came to him in a painful way, meaning he didn't get her straight. He had to get her through a painful way. It was prepared for me. Then she says one more thing. He ate her when she was unripe. Meaning, he should have waited to marry her after Uriah dies, not have the relationship to her this time. To live with her without marriage. Now, before I move on, just want to mention that there's a concept in the Gemara in Saita, and in the Gemara we had somewhere, I forgot where else, because I remembered from Saita, but it's a Gemara elsewhere. Also, where's the other Gemara, Zivik Rishon, Zivik Sheni? It's in Saita, Bezim and Olive, and it's somewhere else. I also know it from the first page of Saita, that's where I learned it first. But it's somewhere else. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. Wherever the Gemara says Zivik Rishon is preordained, Zivik Sheni is Lefi Ma'isav. Might be in Sanhedrin. I'm not sure. It might be the second paragraph. I'm not sure. Whatever it is, it's for Zivik Rishon is preordained. Zivik Sheni is Lefi Ma'isav. However, the Mekubalim say, and the Yavids brings these Mekubalim, that what we consider Zivik Rishon is not necessarily Zivik Rishon. Zivik Rishon is the preordained wife for a person that might not be the one the person gets first time. Usually is, but might not be. And therefore, David HaMelech had his Zivik Rishon, that two ladies are considered preordained to David HaMelech. Very interestingly, Abigail and Bathsheba, they're both considered David's wives. I don't know how that works, but the fact that they married someone else before they married him does not mean they're not his Zivik Rishon. So therefore, the fact Zivik Rishon does not necessarily have to manifest itself the way it works out. Zivik Rishon means the woman that was preordained for this man originally. He might get her first, he might get her second, he might get her third. That's not Negeya. He might not get her. True. It's not for now. That's for Chomashir. Where is it? In Sanhedrin. I thought it was in Sanhedrin. I remember having this discussion here. I think it talks about there Zivuk Sheni in Chabez. Yeah, it's to the bottom of the three lines in the bottom. Like Hashem is Zivuk Rishon, Hashem is Zivuk Sheni. I remembered it somewhere else, but I remember from Saita. That's where I learned it first, and that's where you always remember things from. So it's the Yavetz and the Mekubalim all say, the Yavetz brings the Mekubalim, that Zivuk Rishon, Zivuk Sheni does not necessarily mean the way we manifest itself. It's the way it also really is. So to give my advice.
That's what I'm saying. Fast blowing the lip line, not fast blowing the pen blowing.
Right.
If blowing then.
Right. So to give my advice.
What rooms at the end? But what comes out at the end?
Meaning it doesn't mean necessarily in the order that it works out for the end.
But
he might get her second. Dr. Harris is saying something else, and not everybody gets this even period. It's a different story.
What does that mean?
You have to go to Mekubalim for that. That's the wrong. I don't know. Maybe I have no idea. I don't know Kabbalah. You're talking to the wrong person.
Anybody in Cleveland, Solon, maybe?
Maybe. It's
I'm going to Lakewood Shabbos here.
Maybe there. Yeah. Sure, there are people that know Kabbalah. I don't know. You're talking to the wrong guy. Yeah. Okay, I think we'll stop here today. On that note.